W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Baltimore bridge collapse. I'm Richard Cantu. A major bridge in Baltimore suffered a partial collapse after being hit by a container ship.
They're reporting that the middle section of the bridge collapsed into the water, and there are unknown amounts of people and or vehicles in the water.
Emergency communications captured by Broadcastify. We're talking about the Francis Scott Key Bridge over the Patapsco River, largest bridge in Baltimore. The collapse taking multiple vehicles into the water. There was overnight work going on at the bridge, and at least seven people went into the water.
There were workers on the bridge when this cargo vessel was leaving the port of Baltimore, and it was traveling there on the Patapsco River. This is a very busy bridge. We're talking 11 million people use this bridge every single year. It is a massive bridge built in 1977.
ABC's Sam Sweeney. This is ABC News. A member of the Illinois Prisoner Review Board quit in the wake of a fatal stabbing by an offender on the same day of his release.
Jaden Perkins died, his mother seriously injured in the attack. The suspect in the case is 37-year-old Crosetti Brand, the mother's estranged boyfriend whom she had been seeking an order of protection against. He's now charged with first-degree murder, attempted first-degree murder, and multiple parole violations. Governor J.B. Pritzker says he's committed to ensuring additional safeguards and training are in place to prevent tragedies like this from happening again.
ABC's Derek Dennis. Later on Monday, the governor announced the Prisoner Review Board chairman had also stepped aside. We have learned of the death of author Laurent de Bruinhoff. He revived Babar after his father's death, the popular picture book series about an elephant king. He released dozens of books about the elephant who reigns over Celesteville, including Babar at the Circus and Babar's Yoga for Elephants. Laurent de Bruinhoff was 98. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
The Todd Allbus Show.
Our ride into spring continues. We have some great prizes to give away. A weekend getaway at Chula Vista Resort, a bike, and a three-way blender.
A three-in-one blender.
Oh, three-in-one. So I misread that. We're having our own political threesome
Todd
here.
Todd going with the After Dark Show all of a sudden.
It's always
this
a pleasure.
Is Civic Media, not Cinemax, Todd.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
My conversation with Taylor Kalmus, a.k.a. Dude Dead.
When you go to the movies and you get to the last climactic scene, you're not just like, oh, you know what would be fun? Let's leave. Let's finish this movie in the parking lot. You guys don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
I think he's talking about...
Let's pull out of this movie theater.
Cripes Cast, every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republicans are faulting Northeast Wisconsin Congressman Mike Gallagher for leaving the U.S. House before his term is over. Roger Roth tells the Journal Sentinel he's disappointed by Gallagher's decision. Andre Jacques says he'd be in favor of a special election. As it is, the seat would be vacant from late April to early January. Officials are investigating complaints of phony and forged signatures on recall petitions targeting Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. Dawn Haggerty says she called the Racine County District Attorney's Office after her signature was forged.
And I also called the Elections Commission to ask if there's a way to get my name redacted off the list because this doesn't represent me.
Haggerty spoke to WISN-TV's Up Front. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Bucks silenced the Thunder. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a decisive win at home over the Oklahoma City Thunder, 118-93. Giannis with 30 points says it was great having Damian Lillard and Chris Middleton all back at the same time.
You know, Chris was back, Dan was back, and they had the ball majority of the time. So it was, you know, it was a good day. Hopefully, I can keep it up.
March Madness, Marquette with an 81-77 win over Colorado. Tyler Kolek on getting the Golden Eagles back to the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2013.
And even for this group, you know, we feel like it's been a long time coming. You know, I told the guys before the game, this moment has been in our nightmares and we're not running from it anymore.
Baseball, the Brewers clobbered the Diamondbacks 14-4. Milwaukee with six home runs. Sal Frelick, Rhys Hoskins, Willy Adames had three home runs.
It's a good feeling, man. It's a good feeling just to, you know, I know you always want to have a great feeling going into the season, and I think that that's what they did.
That's Brewer shortstop Willy Adames. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Rain in the overnight, mid-40s, and gusty southeast winds. The rain will end Tuesday afternoon, mostly cloudy, and it will stay breezy with south winds gusting nearly to 40 miles per hour. Highs in the mid-50s will be in the mid-20s, though, late Tuesday night. Right now, it's 48.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once planted evidence so he could make a citizen's arrest, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. So good to be back on the air. Great to have you with me on this Monday night as we broadcast statewide in the state of the beautiful state of Wisconsin, the beautiful rainy, wet state of Wisconsin. Just that kind of day, but that makes it's all the more fun. Crowd around the radio. Let's have some fun. Let's chill out. Let's talk some movies and TV, current events, topical stuff, and what's happening around our state. Got a great show for you tonight. Rob Thomas is here from the Capital Times. He's the entertainment reporter. He wrote a very funny article in his Substack. The title was 23 Gloriously Dumb Things About the New Roadhouse Movie. So I'm going to ask Rob to elaborate on that a little bit. Conrad and I talked about this last Friday, it was. And we both saw Roadhouse. And, you know, it's interesting, like, this article by Rob, it doesn't really condemn the movie. He's just saying these are dumb things, but maybe they fit. You know, maybe he actually liked them. So we'll talk to Rob about that. You didn't love it, right?
I didn't love it. There's a lot of stuff that looked fake.
Yeah.
And I wasn't too crazy about Connor's acting in the movie.
Connor McGregor, yeah.
So, I was iffy on it.
It wasn't even acting. He was just sort of being an obnoxious dink.
Being himself.
Yeah, being himself, exactly. And we talked about how, and this is Rob, I want to say this is number 16 on Rob's 23 Gloriously Dumb Things. Conor McGregor just walks around naked for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, through a town and people are looking at it. It's like he doesn't get arrested or people just go, hey, there's a nude guy. And it's Conor McGregor. So we'll talk about that with Rob. And I don't know. Yeah, it's really weird because we talked about this a little bit last week. Your folks live down in the Keys.
Yeah.
And I thought the setting was really cool. And the aesthetic of the movie, there's stuff about it I really liked, but it's just so dumb. It's like two guys throw down in a bar and some guy, and Rob touched on this too, yells bar fight and everyone starts fighting. I've seen a few bar fights in my day. Never seen that.
That's like when, like a food fight in a
cafeteria. That's exactly what he said in his article. Like, an Animal House food fight, and Roadhouse, it's a bar fight. So that'll be fun. We'll talk about that a little bit with Rob, find out what else he's watching, what he can recommend at 7:35. And then it's kind of all things TV. So when I first got to Civic Media, I did news a bit, and I learned from a great guy. I knew I wanted to do this talk show, but they weren't ready to launch it, so I did news, and I met a guy named Stuart J. Waddles, who covers Southeast Wisconsin for Civic Media. He's a great reporter. He hosted the State of the Union coverage that Civic Media did with Maggie Dawn a couple weeks ago, did a great job. Stuart will be along. He's a big-time TV fan, and he will be along at 8:30. We are going to talk about 80s sitcoms, so I think that'll be a fun talk. If you grew up in that era, I'm sure most of you remember the 80s sitcoms at least. Join in the fun. That will be a good discussion. Stuart was on a few weeks ago. He's a great guest and a good guy. What was I just going to say? We have sitcoms, and God, I just got too much to get to tonight. So today also, and I can ask Stuart about this and Rob, because I'm sure they've seen the film. This is the anniversary of the film The Outsiders, which was released in 1983. Somehow, The Outsiders has become not required, but everybody I talk to that went through the school system read The Outsiders, like in junior high or eighth grade. I read it. I read it in like 1981 before the movie was even out. And it's not a great movie, but it is a very good reenactment of the book, I would say. Like, you're not really ever surprised, but it sort of put pictures to the story. And therefore, I thought it was an okay movie. And talk about the careers it launched. Tom Cruise, Rob Lowe, Pat Swayze. Although I think Swayze was probably, he was probably their big get in that movie, because I think he was already established. See Thomas Howell, Ralph Macchio, Emilio Estevez. Estevez, too, he might have already been sort of on the fringes of fame. But and Matt Dillon. Great stories associated with that film, too, when they shot it. There have been books written just about the filming and about the fun these guys had on the set. You also had Diane Lane. I want to say it launched her career. So, a fun movie released today, 1983. And that brings me to tonight's question. Do you identify more as a greaser or a soche? What do you think, folks? I mean, I wasn't a greaser when I was a kid, when I was in junior high. Came from a, you know, pretty decent home. Had corduroy pants and a sweater. I don't know. I was probably closer to a soche. But for some reason, when you watch that movie, obviously, and that's what they want, you identify with the greasers, the down and outs, the underdogs. So I would say I identify more with the greasers. And maybe I'm not going out on a limb saying that. But who do you identify more with, the greasers or the soches? You can let us know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the stream. Conrad, how can people watch on the stream?
Yeah, so we're on Facebook under Nightlight with Pete Schwabba or the WGBW Facebook page. On YouTube, we're under Civic Media. And on Twitter or X, we're under WGBW.
Outstanding. So let us know what you think. You can join the discussion. As always, we love when you guys join the discussion and tell us what you're thinking and be part of the show. So much fun. And you can text on the question. You can text, let us know whatever you're thinking, no matter what we're talking about. In fact, I have to say this, you guys. I read this Friday. Civic Media is doing its very first contest. If you listen every day, and I also wanted to mention, you can text us on the app. We are on statewide, so you can go to any of the stations on the app and click play, and then there's a little text icon. You can text us through the app, too. That we'll get your text that way, and I can read it on the air and make you part of the show. But if you listen every day, between now and the 29th of March, which is Friday, listen for keywords at the top of hour 7, 10, 1, and 3. 7 a.m., 10 a.m., 1 p.m., and 3 p.m. There will be keywords given on any Civic Media station. Go to the app, text in the keyword before the end of the hour. So you got a few minutes there. Go to the app, text in the keyword before the end of the hour, and enter to win great prizes. So if you haven't downloaded the Civic Media app, we'd love to see you be part of the contest. There will be 4 daily winners, each contest hour. You guys, you win an overnight getaway to Chula Vista Resort in beautiful Wisconsin Dells. It's a gorgeous resort. I was there in December. All entrants, daily winners included, are entered to win one of two grand prizes that include new bikes, a 3-in-1 blender, and an outdoor patio love seat. Those are actually three prizes, but I don't know why it says two. But those are pretty cool grand prizes. In fact, I think we talked about this Friday when Kristen Lyerly was here. I would just take the patio furniture, the love seat. Maybe the blender.
Makes nice. I'm thinking the blender for myself.
Yeah, you want the blender. Make a nice protein shake or something.
But Lyerly said, I need to have the bike.
Oh, am I wrong or was that kind of rude? Kristen's a very nice person. But she kept getting your name wrong and told you need to ride a bike more. That was a very...
You know, I was thinking Lazy River more than that. But yeah.
Here's what you do, Conrad. Get on your bike, ride it to Chula Vista from here.
Oh.
And then you will have earned the Lazy River.
I'll have earned it twice over.
Exactly. So that's pretty cool. That's the first Civic Media Contest. Get involved, folks. Fun prizes and just fun to be part of the whole thing. Also, if you have not checked out the Civic Media podcast, news podcast, every day you can check it out. It's at the top of all the local radio station webpages. So go to civicmedia.us on the web, click on your station. The news podcast is right up there at the top. Check it out. They do sports, weather, news, and I think my Hollywood Minutes are in there. I give some entertainment news. Big time fun. So that's our question, though. Tonight, back to the task at hand. The Outsiders was released in 1983. Do you identify more as a greaser or a soche? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. This is a crazy weekend. Like, today the Outsiders were released in 1983. Sunday, and maybe we'll talk more about this tomorrow, The Office was released in 2005. That's the American version. The Godfather was released in 1972. One of the films I can't turn off when I'm scrolling or flipping. If The Godfather's on, I'm watching it. There's something, I mean, it is a great movie, no question. But it's like hypnotic. It's lit beautifully. It's got this beautiful aesthetic. It's just a phenomenal movie. And then Saturday, for all you youngsters out there, The Hunger Games. Did you see The Hunger Games, Conrad?
I have seen all, I just haven't seen the new one yet.
Oh, I forget there's a new one.
I'm just like, they don't have the main actors from the, you know. So I'm like,
yeah.
I still need to watch it, though, because I really did enjoy all the movies. So,
right. You need PETA, though.
Exactly.
Jennifer Lawrence, she was so great in those.
Yeah, she was great.
Yeah. Our first text of the night from the 262, Chula. That's it. That's the text. Chula. And I could not agree more. I don't know, especially after like this weekend, we got some snow. There's something about like a lazy river or just even the slides. I hate that you like, if I'm going up like 80 feet to get to the top of the water slide and I hear one creak or see the tube jiggle just a bit, I freak out. But then I'm too much of a wuss to turn around and walk back down all those stairs, so I just gut it out. I'm just scared of heights. I can't do it. It's terrible. All right, so Rob Thomas is coming up at 7:35, Civic Media's own. Stuart J. Waddles will be here at 8:35 talking 80s sitcoms. We're going to talk about Roadhouse with Rob. That'll be fun. I'm going to read your texts. We're going to talk about some more really cool birthdays. This was like a star-studded weekend. And we just got a lot to get to. The WGB women's team had a tough loss. Maybe we'll talk a little tournament next. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You know that it would be untrue.
It is a very rainy night.
I think that's the first time I've sang on the show. Be the last. That is my vow to you. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Welcome. Great to have you with me on this Monday night. We're talking big showbiz show. So we're going to jump into some stuff with Rob Thomas in a few minutes and some 80s sitcom talk in the second hour. Let's do a quick... Did you watch a lot of the tournament, Conrad?
That's about all I did this weekend.
Did you? You know what? I did not have much time to... I missed the Badger game, and I could have watched the second half, but it was like the score was like the same the whole game. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not even going to go sit down until this gets close. And it never did.
It was a tough game to watch. We had 19 turnovers at the end of the game, so it was brutal.
Yeah, I just – and finally last night I finished doing some work. I sat down, and I was like, oh, this isn't even a game. It was Texas A&M and Houston. Yeah. And that turned out to be an awesome.
That was a great game.
It was like they erased like a 12-point deficit in a minute and 10. It was insane.
And then they hit the buzzer beater going to OT.
Yeah. I love a good underdog story, but I kind of wanted Houston. For some reason, I like that coach. I don't know why. He's kind of a sad face, and I just want him to win. It's weird. But they're not a hateable team, are they, Houston?
See, I always root for them, but they always lose because their conference isn't as good as some of the other ones.
Right.
So, you know, I am going to root for them this year.
Yeah, there's something. I think it's because back in 1983, I watched them play NC State, and they were Phi Slamma Jamma, and nobody picked NC State. And I was like, I want NC State to win this game. And they did, and it was incredible. It was one of the best sporting events I've ever seen. And I remember after that, my friend Tony and me going across the street and shooting baskets till like midnight on the playground. It was like all we wanted to do was play hoops after this great game. But that was a loss for Houston. I don't think they've ever won a title. So I don't know. I kind of have a soft spot in my heart for them because they were fun to watch then. They lost. I love Akeem. He had a great pro career. So I could root for Houston. But I don't know. Who do you root for? Obviously Marquette.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, I don't know if you saw this, K-Man, on the sheet. My cousin Todd Townsend is going to be on the show Wednesday. He played for Marquette. He was Dwayne Wade's sometime backcourt mate on the Marquette team for Tom Crean. I think they went to a Final Four. So Todd will be on the show. He's a great guy. I can't wait to talk to him. I know he's big time following Marquette, obviously. But yeah, they're my team, I guess. I could root for Illinois, Purdue, maybe, sure. But, yeah, Marquette would be fun.
Yeah, I since Wisconsin lost, I'm really rooting for Marquette now. So
yeah. All right, so let's say if Marquette gets bounced, who do you go for? Or do you just boycott the tournament because there's no Wisconsin team?
I would have said Oakland.
Yeah.
But they made it close. That's all. Yeah. And that's a tough NC State team. So, you know, I think I'm rooting for Houston now. If Marquette wasn't,
yeah, I could do that too. I'm with you there. I really wish It's too bad. I know the UWGB girls basketball team, they were an 11 seed. They lost to Tennessee, which was like a 5 or 6 or something like that. But that would have been fun to follow. Like, they went on a little Cinderella run. But I was checking the score on that, too, this week, and I was like, oh, man. So
That was a tough game, and Tennessee's really good.
Was it close?
In the first quarter, sure. Tennessee's just a really good team, so.
That's a tough draw. But that's all right. Marquette, I mean, I love Shaka Smart.
Yeah.
He's just, and I love listening to him talk after the game. He's like smart. He's sharp. He just looks like he is on it. You know, some coaches, like, they look like they're just about to have a heart attack or they can't find the words. This guy is like, he's just a great post-game interviewer.
I don't know if you saw that. It's funny. They just, everyone keeps eyes on someone when, you know, with the camera.
Yeah.
He was yelling to, you know, for a play or something to the Marquette team, and his gum falls out.
Did he catch it?
He picks it up and puts it back in. It
fell on the floor?
Yeah.
5-second rule.
Exactly. And it was under 5 seconds.
Okay. He was a quick, he was good as a player. He was quick as a cat, man. Other news. So I saw Knox Goes Away was a movie I saw this weekend in the theaters. My wife and I went. Michael Keaton, I hadn't even like I probably heard about it months ago, but like she said, do you want to go see this Michael Keaton movie? It's almost got a 60% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's kind of a mystery. And it was. And it was pretty good. And I've always liked Michael Keaton. And James Marsden played his son. Michael Keaton has a rare form of dementia in the film, and he's trying to solve a caper before he completely loses his mind, literally, and help his son. So it was good. I mean, in fact, here's a sign of a good movie. You're in the theater. It's my wife and I. I had to tell some kids to be quiet twice. And then I find out their parents are the only other people in the theater sitting 2 rows in front of us. So finally, the mom is telling the kids to be quiet. I don't know what it is about people. And it's mostly teenagers. It's like they buy a $8 movie ticket so they can just go in there and goof off. Like, it's not your living room. Shut up. But finally, the mom told them to be quiet, too. And then halfway through the movie, they were dead silent. Like, I looked over there. They were really into the movie. So that's a sign of a good movie. It stars an old guy. And there's young kids and they're watching it and they get into the story. And that's how I know Knox Goes Away is a good movie. I enjoyed it. And James Marsden was good. Definitely recommendable. I'm trying to think what else. Oh, I watched Manhunt too. I wonder if Rob, I'll have to ask Rob if he's watched Manhunt, the story about Lincoln on Apple TV.
Have you seen the movie on Max, Dream Scenario?
What is it? It's called with Nicolas Cage?
Yeah.
I have not seen that yet.
I was just looking through movies on the weekend, and I look at the trailer, and I'm like, what an interesting.
Yeah.
I got to watch that. I didn't watch it. I'm going to, though. It looks interesting for sure.
Did you watch The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent starring Nicolas Cage?
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite movies last year.
It was really funny.
I loved it.
Especially when you first see the room where all of that stuff is in. That's Nick Cage stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's Nicolas Cage tribute room.
Yeah. A full wax figure.
Pedro Pascal was so funny in that.
Yeah.
He kept trying to get him to read his script. Basically, if you haven't seen it, Nicolas Cage gets an invitation. He really needs money. He lost out on a couple big roles. His career's in a slump. So he offers to make an appearance at an arms dealer's birthday party somewhere in South America, or maybe it was the Middle East. I don't remember. But he goes there. He puts up with the guy, and he gets involved in a caper. It's just a really fun movie. And it's Nicolas Cage kind of making fun of himself. I loved it. I saw it at the Wisconsin Film Festival last year. I thought it was great.
It was really funny.
Yeah. You know, that's coming up, too. We should try to book someone from the Wisconsin Film Festival. There's another film I saw there last year called Cha-Cha Real Smooth. And really liked that one, too. That was a good film. Love the Wisconsin Film Festival. Yeah, we'll talk about that. That's next week. That starts next Thursday. So we'll talk a little bit about that later in the week and maybe early next week, too. If you haven't been to one of our great film festivals in the state of Wisconsin, I highly recommend them. Milwaukee has a great one. Wisconsin, right here in Green Bay, you've got a few. We've had people from the Green Bay Film Festival, too. That's going to be Another good event coming up. All right. When we come back from the Capital Times, entertainment reporter Rob Thomas talks Roadhouse. You don't want to miss that. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Just do it all night. Do it all night. Girl, I'll prove it all night for your love.
You're listening to the talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
This is a special report from ABC News. Baltimore bridge collapse. I'm Richard Cantu. A major bridge in Baltimore suffered a partial collapse after being hit by a container ship.
They're reporting that the middle section of the bridge collapsed into the water, and there are unknown amounts of people and or vehicles in the water.
Emergency communications captured by Broadcastify. We're talking about the Francis Scott Key Bridge over the Patapsco River, largest bridge in Baltimore. The collapse taking multiple vehicles into the water. There was overnight work going on at the bridge, and at least seven people went into the water.
There were workers on the bridge when this cargo vessel was leaving the port of Baltimore, and it was traveling there on the Patapsco River. This is a very busy bridge. We're talking 11 million people use this bridge every single year. It is a massive bridge built in 1977.
ABC's Sam Sweeney. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Protesters say they might sue the city of Milwaukee over restrictions during the Republican National Convention in July. Demonstrations inside the convention's general security zone would have to march along a designated parade route and use a city-owned speaker's platform, which might be as far away from Fiserv Forum as a quarter mile. Only two members of the Wisconsin legislature are considered working class. That's according to recent research from Duke University and Loyola University Chicago. It may explain why voters feel their representatives are out of touch.
Because our elected officials don't really come from the same set of backgrounds that most Americans come from.
Eric Hansen is one of the study's co-authors. Those working class lawmakers, by the way, are Senator Robert Wirch and Representative Dave Maxey. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Mino and the Mayor.
You might remember this, Mr. Mayor. It was the first St. Patrick's Day parade in Green Bay going down to the city deck. You were in a wagon, and then the bagpiper and me were in front. I said to the bagpiper, "We got to stop right here in this tunnel and play Amazing Grace." And then I see the mayor stand up in the wagon going, "Get it moving! Get it moving!"
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. And on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Scattered rain is likely today. It's also going to be windy with falling temperatures here through the day. We'll get into the mid-50s by around midday, but we'll drop into the 30s by late afternoon. The wind south becoming west, gusting to 30 or 35. Tonight, windy, low of 24. Tomorrow, clearing with a high near 37. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
For the longest time, it was hard for me to even get out of the house, much less do a backside 180. It took me a bit to understand what was going on, but eventually I learned I had anxiety. Now I'm getting help for it and feeling so much better. Sure, some days are better than others, but the whole thing about getting out of the house, that's not really an issue anymore.
Mental health care is working. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
The Todd Alba Show.
I love me some Drew Holiday. My favorite buck. I love what he's doing. I just really, really wish it wasn't for the Boston Celtics. My loyalty is still more to Giannis. But like when Drew scores a bucket still, I'm like, yeah.
I like to a former true. Lover.
I got a Drew Holiday jersey, a Bucks jersey, and I got an Aaron Jones Packers jersey. This is so why I'm a scoring former lover for both of those players.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt
Mayor on Air.
The hearing surrounding the alleged Biden crime family didn't go very well for House Republicans. They got nothing.
They also have no way of moving this country forward. Every 45 days, we're on the brink of a shutdown because these idiots can't come together and put forth a budget. How about this? You don't get to try to impeach anybody until you finish your homework.
I would heartily back that.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. From I-43 to I-41. This is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. So, it's a big day if you're an Outsiders fan. And if you went to school, you no doubt were forced to watch The Outsiders. Very exciting. And you know what? Some movies hold up just because of the memories they represent. Like, if I was flipping around and The Outsiders was on, I would probably watch it for a while. I never, even when I was a kid, like, I never thought it was a phenomenal movie. I liked it. Probably saw it a couple times. Loved Matt Dillon. Wanted to be Matt Dillon. Never achieved my dream. But it was released in 1983 on today, and we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it a little bit with our next guest, who I'm very excited to welcome, as usual, the fine entertainment reporter. I don't know if I'd call him a critic. He's critical of me, but he just is a fan of movies and TV, and he is Rob Thomas from the Capital Times. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Pete. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
So
I'm a fan. I'm a fanboy of you, not a critic.
Fanboy. That is unsettling. But it's good to have a fan. No complaints. Yeah. I'm right back at you, buddy. I loved your you wrote about Roadhouse in your Substack article that I want to talk about. But when you were a kid, did you have to watch The Outsiders?
I miss The Outsiders. I don't know if I'm a little too old or maybe. No, I don't think so. So you watched it in school?
Well, I read the book before the movie even came out. But now, my daughter read the book in eighth grade 4 years ago. Conrad read it. Have you not seen the movie?
Not seen the movie, not read the book.
Oh, no kidding. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know. This was what? So the movie was 83. So the book was what? 70s?
Yeah, the book came out. You know, the book might have come out in the 60s, actually. The movie came out in 83. I probably read it in 81 or 82, like eighth grade or 83, right before the movie came out. But anyway, let's not waste time on movies we haven't seen. We have Roadhouse to discuss. Your article cracked me up. And you know what? I just said to Conrad before, we both watched the film. I don't think I hated it because it's supposed to be campy and kind of weird like the first one was. But this one was much, it was like on adrenaline or steroids or something.
It was on something, that's for sure. Yeah.
Right.
I approached it and I was like, I was thinking like, it's so silly to just write a regular review of a new Roadhouse movie. And I thought, will it work if I just list all the dumb things that happen in the movie? Gloriously dumb.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if that would work. And then I started watching the movie, and like 60 seconds in, I was like, okay, this will work. This is a dumb movie.
Yeah.
This is going to have lots of dumb things in it. And I think I got like 23. I'm sure I missed a lot. It defies good or bad. It's like either you're having fun watching it or you're not.
I think.
And I had fun watching it.
I love what you said. I can't remember what number it is, but you said someone. And we were just talking about this too. Two guys throw down in a bar and someone yells bar fight. So everybody starts fighting. Like, I don't know. Like, I've been in a lot of bars in my adult life. Most people don't want to be in fights. They're not waiting to get the green light. You know,
so well, to me, that was an homage to Animal House and Food Fight.
It had to
because it erupts that fast. You know?
One thing I noticed you didn't have in there, well, you kind of had it, but everybody in the movie is unlikable. Like, there's not, honest to God, Rob, I didn't think there was one likable character. The girl that owned the bar wasn't likable. Jake Gyllenhaal's character wasn't, like, didn't he kill his friend in the ring?
He's kind of a psycho. That's sort of the weird thing. It's like, he's sort of Jake Gyllenhaal from Nightcrawler underneath the sort of that charming exterior.
Oh, great.
And it's, yeah, it's weird. I mean, honestly, the guy who's the most likable might be Conor McGregor is the bad guy, just because he walks around like he's just so happy to be in a movie. Like, oh, I'm going to be the next John Cena. And I'm so happy. Da-da-da-da-da. I mean, and, you know, at least he's enjoying himself, you know? He's living his best life. But it is sort of weird and dark that way, where, like, Jessica Williams, the owner of the bar, isn't likable. Certainly the villains aren't likable.
Maybe the girl that owned the bookstore and her dad, kind of likable.
Yeah, they were, And the EMT was pretty, she was pretty nice.
Oh, yeah.
She was.
Oh, yeah. She had an edge to her, too, though. But I liked her.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, this isn't a movie you watch for character development.
So, the other thing is, this is one of my hateable moments. I think it was Conor McGregor walks in, just goes up to a girl and says, come on, let's dance. And she's with a guy. She immediately gets up and gives him a look like, oh, yeah. Like, even the side characters weren't likable. Like, everyone in this town is hateable.
I will say that bar has, for being, you know, a fight magnet, has great music. I mean, I wanted the story of those bands who, like, go behind the chicken wire every night, and they keep, no matter how bad the fights got, they kept playing. It was like, we got to get paid. We got to get our $75.
Absolutely. So let's do this. Now that you mentioned the EMT, Kelly Lynch or the EMT in this movie?
Oh, Kelly Lynch, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, on almost every level, the person in the original trumps the person in the new one. I mean, Sam Elliott. I mean, you can't beat him. He's so great in the original.
They didn't even try to have a new Sam Elliott. I was kind of waiting for that.
Yeah, no, and that they kind of missed out on that. And
yeah,
Ben, who's the bad guy? Ben Gazzara.
Ben Gazzara, yeah,
the head bad guy. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. They sort of were like, let's make Roadhouse. Oh, let's not watch the original. Let's just sort of do based on what we kind of remember of it, and then just have a lot of fights, you know, slow-mo fights, and
That's so terrible. Connor or the villain, the young villain in the first one? I can't remember his name.
Don't remember the villain, that guy in the first one. I mean, I sort of can vaguely picture him. So Connor makes more of an impression. Because he has his name on a necklace and tattooed on his stomach, I guess, in case he forgets.
And he's naked, you know? A lot.
And he's naked a lot. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And we were, Conrad and I were talking about that, like that walk he does. Like, is that like that's probably just how he walks.
Maybe because the way his physique is, he has to walk that way. Like,
all right. And finally, Swayze or Gyllenhaal?
Oh, Swayze. I mean, one of my big pet peeves of this movie is they don't have the be nice speech, which is like, you know, that's the thing about the original is like, you know, he could play like nice guy, like ghost Patrick Swayze.
Right.
Until, as you said, it's time not to be nice. And then, you know, and he could do both sides of that, where Gyllenhaal, like we said, is like a, you know, a sociopath. And, and is just ready to uncork. Yeah.
It's funny because I remember thinking, like, Patrick Swayze always used to tout the fact that he was a dancer when he was a kid, but he could put his ballet shoes in his back pocket and beat you up after. Like, he was very focused on letting people know what a multidimensional human being he was. And I thought the fights in the first Roadhouse kind of looked a little ballet-y. Like, the kicks were kind of like graceful kicks. These guys look like... And that culture, I'm getting so tired of that UFC culture. Like, I don't mind watching the fights sometimes. It's the fans I don't ever need to see again. And so that was a little harsh. Some of the fights were, like, pretty intense.
It was brutal, yeah. And the way it was shot, you're kind of like, your face is right there getting punched, you know? It's like...
Yeah.
So
You know what I will say, Rob? I loved the scene where he's walking and the couple tries to run him over. Whatever they did there, those stunts with the truck going at him really fast and he jumps out of the way, that looked really cool. I don't know how they did that. Probably a green screen, obviously, but.
Yeah, that was surprising. And like, he sort of like, yeah, it was almost like in one shot. It must have been some CGI or green screen or stuff. But yeah, it did kind of come out of nowhere. And then the guy who gets eaten by the crocodile so fast, like, like Jake's just about to let him go, and then a crocodile just takes him. You're like, all right, well, I did the best I could.
If I had a nickel for every time I got in a fight on a boat and ended up being eaten by a crocodile. So overall, do you give this 2 Rob Thomas thumbs up, 2 down, 1.5, 1 up, 1 down?
I mean, like I said, I think it's beyond traditional good or bad. It's like,
yeah.
Watch it. You'll know about 5 minutes in when he's patching up a knife wound with duct tape, whether this is a movie for you or not. And it's because it stays at that level for the next 95 minutes. Yeah.
That's very true. And not only that, I think the fact that it was on Prime and I get Prime anyway, I didn't care if I liked it or not. If I had spent $25 at the movie theater and then another $15 on popcorn, I would have been like kind of agitated. But this is a pretty easy watch.
It has that vibe of, you know, because the original Roadhouse, ideally you watch on cable on like a Sunday afternoon.
Right.
And you sort of jump in maybe 20 minutes after it starts, like, oh yeah, Roadhouse, and you watch that. Like, right. That's the level of commitment that a Roadhouse movie asks of you.
Okay, so the box office this weekend, I did not see Ghostbusters. I don't think you saw it either yet, because I asked
No.
you. Immaculate. Do you buy Sydney Sweeney as a nun?
I hear she's great in that movie. I hear she's legitimately great. Yeah. I don't know. Not my kind of movie. I guess she like auditioned for that movie like 10 years ago.
Oh,
like
wow.
When it was first trying to get made, when she was like nobody, didn't get the part, but liked it so much that like the script kept going around, and as she became more famous, she was like, I still want to make that movie. And and so that's how it got made. And so more power to her. Yeah.
Sydney Sweeney's in greenlit. I think I saw the Three Stooges, the Farrelly Brothers version about 12 years ago where Kate Upton played a nun. But they kind of like made a joke about it. Like, you know, and then she was in a bikini and the Stooges were like, oh, is that Sister Beatrice? Like, so I don't know. Maybe this is a trend we're coming around to in movies, like really pretty nuns.
Yeah, I think they call it nunsploitation films or something. I think that is actually a genre in horror movies. So, yeah.
So let's get to something we both have seen, and I've been anxious to get your thoughts on this. True Detective, the new season, Night Country on HBO. What did you think?
We loved it. The end left us a little... I don't know if we were disappointed. It just, you know, all I'll say broadly is like through the whole series, you're trying to determine whether this is a real mystery or a supernatural one.
Right.
And the end, and which leads to a very difficult, that's a hard one to end, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of got to lean one way or the other. And I think we were kind of like just, at the end of it. But for most of the way, we really loved it. I thought the performances were great. I love that kind of location, that remote Alaskan town. Oh, yeah. And I really liked, you know, a good mystery with some sort of question about whether something otherworldly is going on. So,
right.
It was actually the first True Detective season I watched all the way through, and I really liked it.
Oh, wow. Oh, you got to check out the first one, and we'll have to have a, that's still my favorite, but I feel like this one, I liked it, but I kept feeling like I missed something. Like, did I look away for 10 seconds and miss the main plot point or something? It was a very frustrating thing to try to catch up on when I went back to it. And I'm with you. At the end, I was kind of like, I don't know. Yeah, it was weird. But I liked it. I'm with you. I liked the aesthetic. I thought the acting was great, and it had that supernatural thing. But
I would recommend it. Yeah.
You should recommend it to me, and I'm going to watch it again so I can see if I actually missed something, and I'll take your recommendation. Rob Thomas is my guest from the Capital Times. We will be right back to discuss many things show business. And I want to find out what Rob's watching, too. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here comes my baby. Here she comes now. Baby, here she comes now. Walking with a love that's oh so fine. Never to be mine, no matter how I try. You'll never walk alone.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
If it seems you are being asked to donate pretty often these days, Lisa Schiller with the Wisconsin Better Business Bureau says you probably are, and she's hearing from residents about it.
They're getting aggressive calls. They're getting mailers in the mail asking for donations, and they want to know where their money is going.
Schiller says ask questions and understand the difference between a political action committee 527 and a nonprofit charity.
You have to really pay attention to name confusion, the use of the words police and firefighter, veterans, cancer. The name of the organization does not necessarily mean that the charity is engaged in these issues. And I think that's the important thing to remember.
Find more information at BBB.org. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. Are you a greaser or a soche? That's our question tonight. This is the anniversary of the release of The Outsiders. The movie, that is, not the book. The book's been around for 100 years. So who do you relate more to, the greasers or the soches? I say the greasers, personally. I think that's what the filmmakers wanted. I think they want you to identify with the underdog, but that's me personally. What do you think? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. My guest right now is Rob Thomas. If you have not checked out Rob's Substack articles, you got to check them out. He writes great stuff in the Capital Times as well as on his own, what do you call that? Is that like your own blog site, Rob, or Substack?
Well, I think they call it newsletter because if you sign up for it, then, I mean, you can look at it on the website, but it also will show up in your inbox whenever I write a new one.
I don't think I did that. I think I liked it or something. But I need to sign up because I was okay.
It's called Not That Rob Thomas because, of course, everybody makes jokes about the Matchbox 20 guys, so I thought I would lean into it. But I'm having a lot of fun over there.
Have you ever considered writing an article about that Rob Thomas and trying to reach out to him?
I did interview him once.
Oh.
He came to Madison. And I was like, I've got to interview him. And I did a phone interview with him. And then it became quickly, he was super nice. But it became quickly clear that, like, while people for years have made jokes to me about the Matchbox 20 guy, nobody's made a joke to him about the Wisconsin guy ever. But it was fun. It was pretty interesting. I think he was a little perplexed why he was talking to a Rob Thomas. But, We had a good time.
Couldn't wrap his head around it. You could outlast him though. He can't be rocking and rolling until he's in his 90s, Rob. You can write forever.
This is what I thought. He was big in the 90s, and I thought, well, look, I'm just gonna ride this out.
Let him have his fun.
And then he had that Santana song. Say, okay, he's got a few more years out of it. He just keeps going. I just got to accept it. It's gonna be a lifetime thing.
That's all right. You're doing okay. I just want to go back to True Detective briefly.
Yeah.
I love John Hawks and I wanted more, no spoilers alert, but I wanted more from him.
Yeah. And I thought he was great. He's sort of the, I don't quite, there's one thing I didn't quite understand was what, like, he's like the former chief of police, right? And then
I think so.
It's sort of like Jodie Foster is kind of brought in and kind of takes over, but he's still on the force. Is that right?
I think so. That's
kind of bitter about it.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the issues I think I sort of had, was I just didn't fully understand that. I know he was the deputy's dad, and they had kind of a weird thing, but it was just, it was almost like the relationships were like, the connections were chaotic in a weird way. I don't know. Maybe they're supposed to be like that, you know?
Sometimes it felt like you were watching the second season of a show that you missed the first season of.
Oh, that's interesting.
And like, they all kind of knew each, you know, they really expected you to keep up with all the different things. But yeah, right. He was great. He was sort of like, at least a bad guy, but you didn't know if he was actually just like a jerk or something much worse.
Yeah.
And the fact that he was also this romantic who had this like Russian mail order bride thing going, and, it was really interesting dimension to him. And then Jodie Foster, I think, was just fantastic.
Yeah. She's great. Every time I see John Hawks in something, I just like make the leap and I go, I bet he plays a short order fry cook who's killed someone. He just has that look. Like I can't describe it, but he looks gritty. He's just got such a cool persona, I think.
Yeah. I don't really know his story, but he seems like he's lived a life. Yeah.
Yeah. You also said that you watched you're watching Manhunt. I'm caught up. I think I'm caught up. What are your thoughts on Manhunt?
I've only seen the first episode, but I really liked it. The Apple TV show about the Lincoln assassination and, you know, the hunt for John Wilkes Booth. There's so much fascinating stuff in it that, like, I didn't know about. Like,
right.
that was part of a whole conspiracy where, like, the Secretary of State and the Vice President were targeted as well. And it's really interesting, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's weird. I mean, I like it too, and I'm caught up. I think I got through the third episode, but how much the whole democracy in the country was still teetering after they won the war. I guess I didn't realize that, and maybe I should have, but just that there was still like this rebellion that Wilkes or that Booth was part of, you know.
Right, and that the Union, like Lincoln, they sort of breathed a sigh of relief and let their guard down, and
yeah,
you know. Should not have done that, obviously. But yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, the main guy, I don't know what, I think he was on The Crown.
Tobias.
Menzies?
Menzies or,
He's really good. The guy who plays Lincoln, that actor, I didn't think he'd be right for it, but I'm kind of like him in that role.
Yeah, same.
Hamish Linklater, yeah.
And then you got Patton Oswalt, too, and Matt Walsh.
I saw Matt Walsh. I haven't gotten to Patton yet, but that's interesting casting as well. Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird when they cast someone that makes you go, oh, that's that guy. And then you're just watching him like that guy. But then, you know, he's good enough that you kind of take over a little bit. But yeah, I like that. Rob Thomas is my guest from the Capital Times in Madison. Check out Rob's Substack at Not That Rob Thomas. Some very good stuff there. So you said you also saw the, what is One Life, by the way? You said you saw One Life. I don't think I know that.
Yeah, there's like a lot of, it's a weird time in movies where there's like a lot of little movies out there right now. Not that many big ones. I mean,
yeah,
Ghostbusters, but that was kind of a big one. Of course, Dune, which we've talked about. So One Life is the true story. And there was this viral video going around about this guy. I think his last name was Winton, a British guy. Who right before World War II saved like hundreds of Jewish children from the Nazis, like smuggled them out of Prague before the Nazis rolled in and got them adopted by British families. So there was this viral video going around a lot. I think it's got like 60 million views of this talk show in the 80s where this guy is being honored and the host says, oh, if you're in the audience and you know, your life was saved by this guy, please stand up. And like the whole audience stands up, like they've secretly put all the survivors around him in the audience. Really powerful.
Wow.
And so this movie, One Life, which I think is still in theaters, sort of delves into the story. Anthony Hopkins plays the guy as an older man. Another guy plays him during World War II. And it was really good. I mean, it's a tearjerker for sure, but it's also pretty restrained and I
very
think
cool.
Sticks pretty close to the facts.
I want to ask you about Arthur the King next, if we could do that. And we'll have a couple more minutes with Rob Thomas coming up next. Always fun to talk to Rob. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You pick up little dynamite, well, I'm gonna pick up little guy. Everyone on our out tonight, make that highway run. You don't have to call me to tell it.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. The Maggie Dawn Show.
These two referendum that you will see on your April 2nd ballot. What is it that Republicans are after here? You cut funding for local elections. You restrict the hours. You restrict early voting. You intimidate and scare election workers so droves of them are quitting. I wonder where all of this is headed.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.